Good afternoon, good morning, everyone. John, we have already 10 people on the call, so, and it's 1 o'clock, so I suggest we start the conference.
Okay, thanks, Rita, and good afternoon, everyone. And good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, depending where you are. We've got one agenda item for today, but I think there's five different topics within that that we need to cover all. They're primarily updates, bit of feedback from the team. I believe Isabella's going to take us through the deck and through the topic. Is that correct, Isabella?
Yes, thank you, John. I'll do it together with Carleen. We will kind of swap, so it's not like a boring constantly me just talking, so we will just swap different topics, and we are planning to ask your questions just after every sections, because I think they are quite different. So can we start?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. We previously have discussed with you analysis of common reporting practice on a number of occasions. One was at the April ITCG meeting, and that was mainly focusing on the sensitivity analysis. And then we had a follow-up call in June to discuss the remaining topics that are not related to the sensitivity analysis. So today we would like to conclude our discussions by responding to your feedback from the previous meetings, but also just to highlight any additional observation or any additional analysis that we've done on all the topics. So the slide deck that we posted on the website and sent to you, ITCG members, is quite big. But what we wanted to do is provide you the context for all of the discussions today. We are going to focus on specific issues. So if we can move to slide two, that you can see here on the slide. And we will just focus on those issues, and you have also the slide numbers on the right-hand side for the easier navigation. What I also would like to highlight right now is the next steps.
All participants are now muted.
Thank you. We're gonna ask you specific questions, so we will unmute you as when we will ask questions. I think the tee up will be quite quick, so we will have enough time for the discussions. But what I would like to highlight right now is also the timeline. So I would like to let you know that we have already discussed all the topics with the ITCG review panel, which is in essence our dedicated board members that are helping us with developing the IFRS taxonomy. And after today's call, we are planning to finalize all the documents and send you the files for the review. And we expect it will be sometime next week, hopefully, depending on the discussions today and how much work we will have based on that. And then we are going to ask you for comments within the 2 weeks. We are planning then further to discuss any comments that we will receive from ITCG members, but also from our review panel that will be looking at the proposed taxonomy update in August. We will also then try to finalize all the other supporting materials. As you can see on the right-hand side, there's quite a few of them. And we aim to publish the proposed taxonomy update, taxonomy files, and all the supporting materials mid-September. I think maybe before we start the discussion, what I would also like to highlight for everyone is that we are planning tomorrow to have the webinar that will be discussing the changes in the annual IFRS taxonomy 2018. If you go to our website, you will be able to find the in the project news all the available links, so please register. This is the session that it will be based on the Q&A questions, so we will try to answer as many as possible. So please register and for the two sessions that we will have tomorrow. So starting with that, what we would like to do is first discuss all the topics that are within number two, so it will be the change disclosure of significant observable inputs, then we will move to other disclosures, and then at the end we would like to go back to sensitivity analysis, because we think that that will be probably the richest discussion, so we'd like to make sure that we keep all the others, all the other topics discussed, and then we will follow through the I think the most contentious and most interesting topic. So with that, I will hand over to Karlin, who will walk us through all the topics.
Hello, everyone. So the first topic we want to discuss today is change 2.2, which starts on slide 30. And this is a topic that we have discussed with you before, and it's about whether we should change the modeling of the disclosure of significant and observable inputs from using line items to a dimensional approach. And just to summarize, the main argument in favor of changing to a dimensional approach is that it makes extensions easier to consume. And the main argument against the change is that there would be a cost of re-tagging for preparers and remapping for users. So initially, we took the view that the benefits of such a change may not outweigh the costs. And in April, we proposed to you to retain the current model using line items. And we received somewhat mixed views from you, from the ITCG, in April, and many suggested that we did a bit more analysis. So we went back to our sample, and what we found was that there is significant variability in the inputs that entities disclose, and therefore we would expect there to be many extensions for the inputs. And because of these findings, we now think that the benefits of the dimensional model outweigh its cost. And therefore, we're now proposing to change to a dimensional model. And so our first question to you on slide 33 is whether you agree with that proposal to change to a dimensional model.
We will add.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Do you have any questions, any comments on the changed idea to now move to dimensional modeling based, I think, on your feedback?
The sounds means you all agree?
I think the problem of pre-tagging is not a major problem, so at this point, yes, I would agree.
The people who were at the April meeting were against changing to the dimensional model. Do you still feel strong about it, or do you agree as well? No, then I'll take this as an agreed model. Thank you.
Thank you. I think now we move to the next topic.
All participants are now muted.
So then we move to change 3.2 on slide 38. So this is a new topic that we haven't discussed with you before. So IFRS 13 requires all fair value disclosures to be disaggregated by classes of assets, liabilities, and own equity instruments, which is currently reflected in the IFRS taxonomy by a separate axis, as shown on slide 38. And currently, you can see that only the classes of assets axis has members other than the default member. Now, in our analysis of reporting practice, we have found that entities commonly disaggregate their fair value disclosures for two specific types of liabilities, that is, derivatives and contingent consideration. So we propose to add those two as new members to the existing classes of liabilities axis. And we're planning to use the definitions for those terms from IFRS 9 and IFRS 3 in the documentation labels. So our second question for you on slide 40 is whether you agree with the addition of those two members.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
I'm not sure. I agree. That's a good, the suggestion.
with contingent consideration and derivatives. That's very good subclassification. So I agree.
Disagreement, any other suggestions based on your time in your financial statement? Have you come across other members where you now have to create extension elements for?
That's exactly what's happening. If you look at the analysis, you know, which I have given a few months back, and that was the, you know, the lot of extensions, you know, the one of derivatives and contingent consideration. So this is good, creating these two members. It will eliminate a lot of, you know, the extensions, kind of the memberships.
Any other comments on this?
Any other comments?
No. Let's move to the next question.
All participants are now muted.
So, moving on to change 3.3, which starts on slide 41. So, again, this is a topic that we have discussed with you before in June. As a reminder, IFRS 13 requires a reconciliation from opening to closing balance for some fair value measurements. And IFRS 13 also specifies the changes in fair value that must be shown separately in that reconciliation, which are listed on slide 42. And in particular, gains or losses recognized in profit or loss must be presented separately from those recognized in OCI. And the IFRS taxonomy contains line items to reflect this requirement, as shown on slide 41. And now we found that entities commonly disclose exchange differences in their reconciliation, and they disclose it separately from other gains and losses recognized in profit or loss and OCI, as shown in an example on slide 43. Now, IAS 21 requires some exchange differences to be recognized in profit or loss and others in OCI. But in most cases in our sample, we were not able to determine which type of exchange differences were reported, so we weren't able to tell whether the reported effects were recognized in profit or loss or in OCI or a mix of both. We've identified two possible modeling approaches, which are presented on slide 45. And under approach A, we would create separate line items for exchange differences recognized in profit or loss and exchange differences recognized in OCI, and then also separate line items for other gains and losses recognized in profit or loss and OCI, so those that exclude exchange differences. And all of those would be placed as children to the existing gains or losses elements. Whereas under approach B, we would only create a single element for exchange differences, a single line item, which is placed at the same level as the existing gains or losses elements. And this approach looks most similar to what entities are doing in practice. Now, we prefer approach A. We think it's conceptually most appropriate because exchange differences are a type of gains and losses that are recognized either in profit or loss or in OCI. So that brings us to our next question for you on slide 47, which is whether you support approach A.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Quite few the entities, and I think the approach A would be, you know, the really helpful. Otherwise, we will gonna end up doing so many, you know, the kind of extension in approach B. So approach A, in my opinion, would be, you know, the very good one, including, you know, the classification of, you know, the profit and obviously OCI. So I think that will be good approach.
Any other comments? Anyone else?
I think this topic is especially interesting, and I think if you have an experience with that, that would be quite helpful, because the way that we saw company disclose that is not necessarily the way that we actually modeling that. So if you have an experience that modeling could create any problems in practice, I think it would be quite helpful to know. We hope it wouldn't, But again, if you have an experience that is different and it might create some problems with practice, please let us know. I can hear two people talking, and I know that one of that is Lou. So can we ask maybe Lou to speak first and the other person speak second?
Certainly. I'm wondering how many companies you looked at as part of the analysis, or just what scope you looked at. And I don't disagree with that observation of what you looked at, but just curious.
So in general, we looked at 150 companies. That was our sample that is disclosed in appendix. But I think not all of them had this specific disclosure.
Yeah, I think there were probably, if I recall correctly, about 17 that put the translation differences separately. But I might be wrong. I think it was about that number.
Yes, and I think for most of them, that was what they commonly disclosed.
So not classified as common.
Okay, thank you.
Ashok, did you want to say something still?
No, I was just going to say that I'm going to look at it. You know, there's some more filing, and I will provide you some example how the the disclosure was presented and how we actually did the tagging.
Okay.
So that will be maybe some sort of, you know, the kind of the guidance, I think.
I think
it's like approach A.
Okay. And again, if you will go through this sample and you will see that this modeling would be somehow difficult for you to tag those examples, if you can highlight that to us, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. Any other comments? No. Okay. We will go to the next.
All participants are now muted.
So we are going to move back now to the sensitivity analysis, and we are going to go back to a change on slide 14, and that is related to quantifying the change in unobservable inputs. So at the last April actually IPCG meeting, when we discussed the sensitivity analysis, we discussed to add a proposal to add numeric line items for the change in observable inputs, because entities commonly quantify those changes. And you can see on slide 14, that is an example of how we saw those amounts being commonly disclosed. So at that meeting, we're suggesting introducing two separate sets of line items to reflect different ways the entities can express a change in input. One set was for the absolute changes, and I think that is shown on slide 15. And one set for the relative changes. And as you can see here, we created a matrix that was showing that the absolute changes are in essence the changes that are either showing changes in cash flows of 2 million or changes in 2% increase of discount rate from 8% to 10%. And then we have also distinguished relative changes, which are in essence in percentages. One, I think, which is quite common, which is a change or increase of expected cash flows by 5%. But also, in theory, that could be a change from 2% increase from 8% to 8.16%. So it's a multiplication of percentage changes. At that meeting, the ITCG members suggested that modeling might create confusion. And mainly the confusion might come from the fact that if you look at the percentage changes, in essence, what we will ask people to do is look to tag the most common change, which is this absolute change for percentage from 8% to 10%, using the decimal item type instead of the percentage item type. So what we were trying to do is think how we can address this feedback that we have received from the ITCG members. And what we thought we could do is that the proposal is on slide, I think, 17, to think about possible implementation nodes. So what we were thinking about doing is still using decimal item type, the percentage item type, but use the implementation nodes to distinguish that. But after we actually published the slides, we had some additional feedback and additional inputs and discussions within the team and actually with our board advisors that maybe there are other ways that we can address this issue, not necessarily through implementation nodes, but maybe through a different modeling. So one idea that we were thinking about, and maybe we can go back to slide 16, this idea is not on the slide because, again, we thought about it after we published the slides. But instead of having the percent item type, which is approach B, which is consistent with IFRS 17, we instead can include a decimal item type and then deal through different combinations through different types of units. Thank you, Rita. So again, we are thinking if we have the decimal item type, and if we go back to slide 14, we will be able to choose different item 15. We will be able to choose different item types, the percentage or the euros units, or maybe any other item type that entities will be used for different inputs that entities will be able to disclose. The other alternative which we can also consider is instead of having one item type that will be decimal item types and then change all the units, is actually create three different elements, and then we will clarify how they should be used in the label and also in the implementation notes to those elements. We know that those are new ideas, and we are happy to proceed with either of those ideas, but if any of those ideas make sense to you and you think might be more intuitive comparing to those that we disclosed or presented in those slides, we would be curious to know what you think about it, or maybe you have any other ideas by yourself. So I think I was trying to tee it up. If you think that you're also confused of the ideas that we are proposing, please let us know about any comments or any questions, and we are happy to discuss.
Should we open the line?
Yeah.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
I'm gonna think about this one, but just purely for curiosity, and I'm gonna respond after doing a bit study. Why we have to increase and decrease? Why can't we have one tag, you know, like a two-way tag for the same thing? Does it cause any issue?
It could be a different amount.
Yes.
You could say, like, I have one scenario which is an increase in 3% and my other scenario is a decrease by 5%.
Well, so also have to show the direction, because this is the input. So we said, look, we had increase in fair value as a result of a decrease or as a result of an increase. If we just had one item for increase, decrease in inputs, then it didn't necessarily reflect.
I think that was a different line item. I think, and that might be a good idea. In essence, to include increase and then in the brackets decrease in observable input and just choose the appropriate positive or negative type of element to disclose that. We will consider that. I think we didn't think about it, and it might be a good idea. We will consider that. Thank you.
All right.
So I know it's a difficult thing, but if we go back to the slide, yeah, how would you, if we had no model, good model, if you were a preparer or someone involved in tagging, and you would have to tag this, how would you tag that so that it is simple to understand and easy to consume? That is really the challenge we face. What would you do?
said one of the options was to use three line items. What are those three line items?
So the three line items, the items that we would consider is, one would be the percentage item type, which is again very similar to what we have in IFRS 17, and we would have it here. But we would consider the percentage to be used only for the relative and other than percentage units. So this is the right-hand side above increase of expected cash flows by 5%. And it could be the one below as well, which we think is quite rare. We will have a separate line item that will be used for tagging the basis points. So we will clarify in the element label that one is for percentage and one is for change in basis points. And then the third element we can include is for those changes in any other unit types. So this can be, this, for example, the change in 2 million euros that you can see on slide 15. And again, all those types of elements we could also include in one element, which will be decimal, and then we will just use different units to distinguish that. So there is a question that whether it's better to distinguish those things in one element just by units, or whether it's better to include three different elements and then those elements will have different types.
Did that seems to make sense. One of those elements probably would never be used because it's the bottom right quadrant here, which is something that never happens in common practice.
Right.
But there is an existing element right now that is the percent change. I think it's a percentage item type. With that one under the current proposal, would that one stay as is?
So I think it will stay, but I think we will need to clarify what we mean by this, because I think when we think about the percentage item type, really what I think most people are thinking and what they commonly disclose is the basis points. So I think it might be useful to clarify that. And when we think in the percentage, really what we're thinking about is this increase of expected cash flows by 5%. But if it's related to discount rate, it's really the basis points that we are thinking about whenever we're thinking about percent. So we're thinking we probably should divorce those two ideas and either do it by the separate elements or do it by the different types in the decimal type of element, because we think those are different things and people might get confused.
John, is there anything in has XBRL International come across this problem, and is there anything that maybe in the unit type that could be done to make a better distinction between this percentage and percentage basis point? Because then you could use a decimal item type, and the unit type would really specify if this is a percentage or a percentage basis point. I think at the moment the unit type only specifies pure, so. Is there anything, did XBRL International come across that as a problem? Is there something that something that could be done by XBRL International? Or do you have any views of it?
That was to John Turner, I think, was on the line, right?
Yeah, or John, maybe John is not on the line, or John, may John will ask, part of board members of XBRL International, wondered if you had ever come across that problem?
Not at the board level. I haven't come across this at the board level. It probably would be something that we would get involved with. It probably more like one of the technical guys that was involved with the internal members' name. I don't know if any other board, maybe Michael.
Or maybe
come across it in one of the others,
but
definitely not important.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Isa, this is Donna. I have a question.
Sure.
Would you expect these to always be kind of connected? You have a change in an input with an effect on you know, cash flows or some other value, would it, because just a change in the input, does that tell you really what the requirement is looking for?
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? Because I don't think we got what you're asking about.
So if you have a change in input, would you expect then the result of that change on either the value or something to equate it with? I'm not sure what just a change in a discount rate would tell you. If you're looking at sensitivity, so if you change the discount rate by 2%, wouldn't you then want to know what that 2% does to either a value or something? Would it? I'm not sure if that's meeting the requirement in terms of just saying a change in the input without giving you the effect.
Yes, I think that's the point of the sensitivity analysis, is that you disclose what a change in input, what effect that has on the fair value. So we are interested in the effect on the fair value ultimately, but we have other elements to tag that effect on the fair value, which are disclosed, which are discussed in the rest of the slide deck, but we've discussed those at the April meeting, I believe.
Yeah, so again, the whole...
You want those...
Go ahead, Dylan.
You want those connected, so my, you know, 2% increase results in X change. Like, how would they be connected to know that the change in discount rate is connected to... the change in value, that is the discount rate affecting it versus some other input.
So I think, so maybe when we look on slide 10, we've got all the changes that we are proposing for the sensitivity analysis. So all the changes will be within one table. So we propose one table to kind of gather all the proposed changes for sensitivity analysis, including the text block. Then we're planning to include the members for significant observable inputs and the line items to quantify the change, to show what is the direction between change and observable input and the change in fair value, and then the distinction that we are still need to talk about. So in essence, we think that because it will be in one table, the entities will be able to link all those changes all together. But is there anything specific that you're thinking about, maybe that you're using in your taxonomy?
I think the connection is going to remember, I think.
You know, we do have some constructs, not in this particular area, because our requirement's a little bit different than yours. It's more of a narrative description. And we haven't looked to see if people are actually providing numerical values there. But in some other cases where we're trying to relate, and I'm not sure it's the best modeling or construct, is it's identifying kind of a benchmark versus the thing that is in the risk. It's more of a risk assessment. So it kind of identifies, you need the two together to really identify what the risk is to which benchmark. So it kind of feels a little similar in that you've got a thing that's impacting something else and trying to pull them together.
I think the link is through, if I understand your prompt correct, Donna, I think it's really, we have the table where you have members, inputs as members on an axis, and then you have two line items. One line item would say the increase in the input, the other line item would say the effect on fair value. So now you really say you have to say, look, what user will get, it says increase in discount rate of that much for the observable input, which is called discount rate. That's one line item. Then you have to look at the other line item, would say increase in fair value measure of so much as a result of increase in input of so much. Yeah. For the member discount rate. So it's really a table structure and the use of the member, a specific member, that connects these two line items.
Okay, so your member is pulling those together to
Correct.
Create the...
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments on the possible approaches? So maybe what we will try to do, because I think all of the approaches that we considered so far, they have its pros and cons. So what we are thinking about doing is including all of that in the proposed taxonomy update, and in essence ask our constituents what they think about each one of them. So maybe if you can let us know if there is any approach that you maybe disagree with or anything, or any views that you might disagree with including all of those approaches in the proposed taxonomy update, that could be helpful at that point.
Yeah. And we know it's not an easy problem because we have been thinking about it for a long time, so probably we brought it to you too quickly now, I think, our ideas. And I have, again, even not consider necessary our ideas, you say, look, this is the problem we are trying to solve based on your knowledge of XBRL, tagging, and so on. What would you suggest and why? And if you have any view on that, we would really very much welcome that. Okay.
All right. I think with that, we will go to the last topic.
Yes, so
all participants are now muted.
Moving on to the last topic, which is change 1.5.1, which is also related to the sensitivity analysis. And this topic is linked to a change that we discussed with you at the April ITCG meeting. So as a reminder, as explained on slides 21 through 23, we found that entities commonly disclose the possible effect on fair value split between the effect on profit or loss and the effect on other comprehensive income. And consequently, in April, we proposed adding separate line items for the effect on profit or loss and the effect on other comprehensive income, as described on slides 22 to 23. And back then, the ITCG supported this proposal. And now we've further considered whether the elements we create should represent the effect on profit or loss and OCI before tax or after tax. And in our sample, we found that most entities did not specify whether the reported effects were before tax or after tax. There were a few who reported amounts before tax and a few that reported amounts after tax. However, we think we should avoid ambiguity in the IFRS taxonomy. And therefore, on slide 25, we propose to add separate elements for the effects before tax and after tax. Now, the disadvantage of our proposed approach is that it would be adding 30 elements to the IFRS taxonomy, which makes it longer and more complex. And also, the proposed modelling would be inconsistent with the modelling we currently have for a similar disclosure in IFRS 17. So we may need to consider amending the IFRS 17 modelling. So our last question to you, which is on slide 26, is whether you agree with this proposal to add separate elements for the effects before tax and after tax.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Ashok here, so I agree. Perfect. And that's exactly what a few filers, in my experience, they were really struggling in their disclosure, in their label. They did not say before tax or after tax. So this is pretty good, removing all ambiguity, which will be very useful in terms of, you know, the accuracy and that sort of thing. So I agree with the proposals.
Okay, maybe I will just ask, is there any disagreement with that proposal? All right, I think
that
I don't... Go ahead.
No, that was me. Just saying, that doesn't seem like there's any disagreement.
Okay, I think John is just saying there doesn't seem to be any disagreement. So.
Okay. Great. So I think the only thing which I would like to say is thank you very much for your help. Again, we are trying to include all those changes in the proposed taxonomy update document and in the files that we will send to our board advisors for review and the files for the IDCG for review. Thank you for your help with that. And for those that maybe didn't tune in at the very beginning, I would like to again remind everyone that we are holding a webinar with a Q&A session at the end on the IFRS Taxonomy 2018, where we will highlight all the changes from 2017 IFRS Taxonomy, and there will be two sessions. One will be in the morning and one in the afternoon to make sure that we accommodate people in the different time zones. So if you can please register and think about any questions that you might have, we will try to answer all of them at the end of the session.
Thank you. So nothing else. So I just want to, because at one point is that we know an ITCG face-to-face meeting is scheduled for the end of November. Yeah, as we already in previous calls have said, we always do these meetings if we think there are enough topics to bring to fill a full day. Now we will be looking during August, early September. Okay, what topics can we bring? What topics can we not bring? Because of course, before we can bring topics, we need to be able to research kind of topics, and we're also busy with implementing some of the suggestions you gave to us at the April face-to-face meeting. At this moment in time, unfortunately, I cannot say yet this meeting will go ahead, or this meeting may be a half-day meeting, or this meeting may be a three-hour meeting. I unfortunately cannot say that yet. We will come back early September, and then hopefully our plan should be clearer. But if in the meantime you think there are particular topics that you think are of interest and that would you like to bring to the November ITCG meeting, then please let John and Anderka and myself know. Also, it does not necessarily mean that we always have to present these topics. If you think that is a very interesting topic that may cause problems for tagging IFRS financial statement or consuming IFRS financial statement, and you want to provide us with your views and how we can improve things, we also welcome this kind of topics as well. So again, let us know of topics you're interested in, and we hope to be able to clarify to you by early September the status of the November face-to-face meeting. Thanks very much. Were there any other business that you wanted to bring up on reviews?
I'm not sure when we will have the next call, so I think what might be also to highlight is we are working on a different work streams to make sure that we implement different changes that you are doing. But also what we would like to do pretty soon is to release formulas. And my understanding was that that you are also involved in reviewing those formulas. So we will send you the files as soon as possible, and we will try to keep you updated when they are coming, because we know the holiday season is coming and you might have other plans. And again, just give you enough time to review those files.
Okay. Are there any other questions you still have for us?
Yes, I do. This is two comments. A, and probably you may not have answered, but do we know when SEC the likelihood of approving IFRS 2018 taxonomy? Any idea?
Ashok, as I do not represent the SEC, unfortunately, I cannot answer that question for you.
Mm-hmm. I respect. That's a good answer. Very nice.
Sorry.
And it's just comment. I think we need thinking about this thing, that we should have some sort of process to, you know, get the database from SEC of all the IFRS filers and to make some sort of analysis and to promote extended tag, which is commonly used by many filers, into standard tag. So, It's just like a future thinking, a future kind of the process, I think. And I know the resource problems, and it really requires a lot of resources, but somehow we have to start thinking on that one to bring a lot of extended tag into standard tag, if there is some common accounting concept.
Here I can say, I can answer, and I say, look, we are not only thinking about it anymore, we are already starting to take some steps, we are looking at different options, we are evaluating different options. I'm looking even here to Asha, because she is working on that, and yes, it's definitely something that we are not thinking about, and maybe hope to be implemented. But there are resource implications, not only from tools and things like that, but also you still need to human to analyze these extensions, so we need to consider that as well. But we already passed the stage of thinking, Ashok.
Very good.
That's what I thought. But again, I would urge those people on the call who are very much involved in the preparation of financial statements, if you find particular areas where on your view research there is a lot of common reporting practice and it's not reflected in the IFRS taxonomy, please let us know. That is very, very useful information for us, because that can scope our research as well. Okay. It's possibly that.
Hi, Rita.
Yes.
This is Kim Rowe at SEC.
Hi, Kimberly.
I think there was just a question about the acceptance of the 2018 IFRS taxonomy.
Correct.
And I wanted to mention that did happen on the 9th, 2 days ago.
Thank you, Kimberly. So Ashok, that answers your question. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Pam, probably I think talk to you in September again, because I don't think we have specific talks to raise in August, but never say no. All right. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.